Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey, everybody. David Nagel here. And today I'm going to be answering questions from listeners. So let's just jump right in here. I've been getting a ton of questions from listeners, and I encourage people to keep sending them in. We're happy to answer them. It's a lot of fun for us, and hopefully it's a great benefit for you. So here's the first one. What is my ideal definition of success? My definition of success is basically what I've taken from Earl Nightingale. And he said that the definition of success was the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. I happen to love that. I think that that's perfect. I think that that's exactly what we do. We have a worthy ideal in life. We're consistently moving toward that. That can change from time to time. I think that whatever it is, it'll be in harmony with your purpose. And it's you're constantly realizing that or manifesting that in your life. So it is always a progression. It is never a destination. And as long as you're making progress towards that in your life, you're a success. That also, by the way, means that if you have a failure or a setback or whatever, as long as you don't let that become a story that locks you into a place, then you're successful, period. It's not a destination. It's not a financial destination. It's not a destination in any sense of the word. Destinations are great. I'm not against destinations. I think they're a good thing, targets to hit. But all goals give our life direction. And the direction, what we're doing in that direction is we're uncovering more of our true self. We're gaining more awareness. And the greater we can actually give back to society, and the happier that we are. So that's a good one. Next question is the definition is – it's from the same person, obviously. Is the definition well-rounded to include all of the important aspects of my life? Yes, I think that it is, because I can apply that to my relationships. There's no area that I can't apply it to. You can apply it to health. You can apply it to sex. You can apply, as long as it's a continuous evolution and progression toward the ideal, there's no area that it doesn't apply to. So that's great. Okay. How do I feel? Do I feel good about the way I treat the most important people in my life? I feel good about the way I treat everybody in my life. I try to practice the golden rule, treat others as you want to be treated. I am very appreciative of people. I tell them I appreciate them. I tell them why I appreciate them. I'm genuinely interested in their lives, and I'm also interested in what way can I benefit them. So I feel fantastic about the way that I treat people. And I might add that that was not always the truth. There was a time in my life where I did not treat people very well. And when I became aware that's the person that I was being and turning into, I changed it quite rapidly. Do I feel that I express enough gratitude and appreciation for what I have? I do feel that I do. I am extremely grateful for everything that I have. That there's no question about that. Even more about what I do for humanity. I am very, very grateful that I am a productive participant in humanity. My job and my purpose in life is to raise consciousness, to help people get unstuck, to help them better their lives in a myriad of different ways. I know that the way that we focus on it, or it seems like we focus on it the most, is with money and business. That is true. That is our major output in the way that we help people. But once you start working along those lines with anybody, you quickly get into every area of their life. So I'm very grateful for everything. Somebody asks, is my stress level too high? No, I don't have any stress. I think the biggest stressor that I've had in my life probably for since I began changing would probably be the back pain that I suffered for many, many years, which is now gone. But outside of that, no, there's no stress. Because here's what I think. I think stress comes from worry, and it comes from the idea that you're trying to avoid something bad happening. I'm not trying to avoid that in my life. I don't care if I fail. I don't care if I make a mistake. I don't shame myself. I don't judge myself. I don't I judge myself from the perspective of, because this is a judgment. I don't care how much sugar you want to put on it. Are you happy with what you're putting out, what you're doing, how you're showing up? So I judge myself based on that, but not from like I'm going to beat myself up if I'm not. It becomes an awareness factor, like, okay, you can do better than that, or you're getting a little lazy here, or you're letting it slip a little bit there. You want to get back to, you know, being your best self that you can be, which I enjoy actually doing. And I don't go into shame and guilt around not doing it. That's a good question, though. What do I choose to ignore? That one is very, very easy. I choose to ignore negativity. Don't want anything to do with it. And it is rare that I will engage in it. I think the only time that I engage in it is if I'm trying to learn something from that kind of an experience, or if I need to engage in it from a coaching perspective where I'm helping a person make a shift. But even then, I do not hang out in that place. Do I consider other people's suggestions before I dismiss them? Yes and no. Sometimes, so let me just explain this a little bit about what I do. So I'm going to use this in a business sense. Let's say I'm sitting around at a company meeting and we're brainstorming ideas about something, and I'm listening. Somebody has a suggestion, and right off the bat, I know from a cause and effect perspective, it won't work. And the reason that I know that it won't work is because I've either done it before, I've seen it done, I know inherently exactly what that'll cause or what it will do. I do not necessarily sit and go through an entire suggestive process around that because it would be a waste of time. When I know I can bring in well-educated, experienced efforts in the past, either positive or negative, I will do so. Now, if I don't know from experience, I will listen to the whole suggestion to make sure that I'm dealing with it accurately based on the way that they're explaining it. And then in my mind, what I'm running, the process that I'm running it through is basically, what is the truth about this? So that means that I'm considering all sides of it. I'm taking in the entire concept, not just what my mind is trained to see or what my perception of it is, but taking in the entire concept. And then I ask myself, based on cause and effect, does this sound like this is a good idea, whatever that idea might be? So that's what that is. What is the most important change that I need to make this year? Good question. The most important change that I've worked on this year and have 99% accomplished and will finish accomplishing by my goal by the end of the year was to get rid of my back pain and transform my health as far as weight loss was concerned. It was extremely difficult to do that when I was dealing with the back pain. I realized I couldn't do both of those things at the same time, but I managed to get rid of the back pain, and almost all of the excess weight is gone, and I feel absolutely fantastic, and I'm in great health. Let's see here. Am I willing to consider that there are other things that I can do to improve my life or business? but I don't have the confidence to take action, what would those things be? I always think there's things that I can do to improve my life or my business. I don't have anything that I don't have any confidence around that I can't do. I just don't. If I have a new idea, I immediately take action on it if it's appropriate to do that immediately. I don't wait for confidence to show up. I don't wait for fear to go away. And there's not much that I'm afraid of because I'm not. I think the real big fear is that a person is afraid of what other people are going to think of them if they fail. I don't really give a shit what other people think. I know that I can't get really great at doing something without making mistakes along the way to find out what's not working. It's never personal for me. It's all about what do we need to do to get the result. That's what I'm interested in the most. And ultimately, the result is how do we help more people? Let's see. What would I be risking if I did some of the things that I consider outside of my comfort zone? What would I be risking if I did things that are outside of my comfort zone? I think I would be risking, if I answer the question honestly the way that it was sent in, I think that it would be risking unnecessary failure. And here's what I mean by that. I have a very good idea of what works and what doesn't work in my business and life. And that's from experience. That's what that's from. I totally understand that there's a lot of things that I don't know. So if I was to do something that I was really, really sure wouldn't work, then I would be risking an unnecessary failure just to allow somebody to try something, which I have done, by the way, because sometimes I think that a person needs to learn by making their own decisions and not having somebody else make decisions for them. So as long as it's not something that's would be a catastrophic loss, there are many times where there's things where I don't think it's going to work or I'm pretty sure that I know that it won't work, and I'll let somebody go ahead and try it anyway so that they have an ability to learn from making their own decisions in life and learning what the consequences of those are on their own, because I think that is really the best teacher. What enjoyable activity do I not engage in often enough? I don't know. I pretty much do what I want to do when I want to do it. What enjoyable activity do I not engage in often enough? I don't really think this is a good one, Brandon. I'm going to say that. So I think you have to ask yourself also, where's this person coming from with often enough? What does often enough mean to them? If I want time off, I take it. If I want to go on a vacation, I take it. If there's an activity that I want to do, I do it. My greatest joy comes from the way that I spend most of my days, which is doing what I love to do. This podcast, helping people, coaching, building a business, building multiple businesses. Like, I have recreational activities that I like. I enjoy fishing. I enjoy travel. I enjoy the education that you get from traveling. I don't necessarily know that I would do more of that, though, because it's not as important to me as the other things that I'm doing. So I don't think that I don't feel in any way that I'm lacking in that area. Good question, though. Are there any toxic or negative people in my life? No, because I don't allow them in my life. If somebody comes into my life that is toxic or they're very, very negative, I back away from it. I won't have it in my life. Do I have enough support from friends, families, mentors, a coach to achieve my personal, professional growth that I desire? Yes, I do. And I'm always willing to take on new mentors or a coach, if there's something that I want to learn and I can find somebody that is really way ahead of me on it and they can teach me a lot about it. Friends, family, absolutely no question. I have the greatest set of friends and family and love them all dearly. What's the most amazing thing I've achieved in the last year? The most amazing thing that I've achieved in the last year personally was getting rid of my back pain. That was like a miracle for me that I was able to do that as effectively as I've been able to do it. The other thing is that the amount of people that we've been able to help and assist in their goals moving forward in life, from new employees to people that we help as clients. Let's see. Do I remain a victim to any experience or belief that I've been unwilling to let go of? No. I don't. I'm pretty good at letting go of beliefs these days that don't serve me. So, and even if I didn't, I wouldn't view myself as a victim in any way of anything. I take 100% responsibility for my life and understand that that doesn't mean that I don't make mistakes. I absolutely make mistakes and I take responsibility for those also. But there's no beliefs that I'm not willing to let go of once I'm certain it's time to let go of it. And I'm definitely, I don't view myself as a victim in any way, shape, or form. Is there anyone who I feel angry or resentful toward? No, I don't. I don't hold on to being upset with people at all. If I'm upset with somebody for whatever reason, the first thing I do is I ask myself, why am I upset? And then I work on myself first. But if there is something that I need to address with somebody else, I address it. If there's something that I did, I apologize. What am I most proud of? I'm most proud of the people that I get to help in the world. That's what I'm most proud of. I really, really enjoy being a benefit to others' people's lives. I enjoy the fact that I've built business where it is profitable and it is constantly growing and it affects people that work for me in a positive way in their life. And I am ecstatic about the idea that we're able to reach so many people in the world in a positive way and help them get in a direction that is most productive for themselves. Do I have issues with trusting people? Am I overly controlling? So here's the thing with trust. I basically will trust a person until they give me a reason not to trust them, but I also don't trust blindly. When I'm in relationship with anybody for any reason, I really look at what is the capacity to be trusted with that you give someone. And then I don't give a person more than they can be trusted with. And let me just clarify that just a little bit. The idea would, I'm more coming from a place of responsible. Like, what do they actually have the ability to do or not do? Not coming from a place of like, will they lie from me or cheat or steal? I don't think about that at all. If I did, the person wouldn't be in my life at all. But it's really about like, what is their capacity to be able to do what they say that they're going to do? So then it is about responsible trust where it's talked about, it's discussed, it is verbalized, sometimes it's contractualized, and then it is accountability, right? It's about accountability, self-accountability and accountability of others. And the last one I'm going to cover today is, am I living my passion? Absolutely, 100%. I love what I do. I couldn't imagine doing anything else for a living. And part of my passion is building businesses. So, you know, the My plan is to just keep creating them and building them out. And all the businesses help people in one way or another. Thank you very much for the questions. They were really fantastic. I hope that they were solid answers for you. I know that they were for me. And we'll talk to you on the next podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.